Audio.
Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent,
it is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher, I'm Hero.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, we're just going to start this up, and Kim, oh my God, she's in the kitchen right now.
I thank you for waiting.
No, I can't wait.
I'm just reading the
ding, ding.
denofgeek.com.
Now, forget about Den of Geek. I don't want to hear about those guys. Forget it. Wait, what do they say? Is it something important? Is it something of relevance that I need to hear or no?
Well, they're breaking down the trailer bit by bit and kind of analyzing it and taking guesses as to what these things are.
They're all fools. Hello, everyone. My name is Mike McCafferty. Forget about Den of Geek. Forget about Screen Junkies. All you need to listen to is me, Mike McCafferty.
You're burning every bridge that we have.
There's no bridges to burn because they are all of lesser intellectual import via Star Trek. Because they want to talk about other geeky stuff. All I want to talk about is Star Trek. And that's me, Mike McCafferty. Kim Miller sometimes wants to talk about Star Trek, but right now she's making pork buns in her kitchen.
Just one.
Oh, pork bun, singular.
One single pork bun.
And Jason McCarris may or may not be working right now. We'll keep that as a mystery. It can't be used against him. But we are here tonight. I've been holding off trying to do this. I was going to do finally The City on the Edge of Forever, my solo podcast on it. I've been doing all this work on it. And then CBS.
What kind of work are you doing?
What?
What kind of work are you doing on?
Research. I've been researching this. I've been reading a whole bunch of stuff.
I thought you knew all.
I do know all, but I'm reconfirming. I'm confirming all. I'm separating myself from Trek FM. Hey, don't listen to Trek FM. Oh, I have to read something, too, by the way. I have to read...
cease and desist letter from Trek.
Cease and desist letter.
Please stop slandering us.
No, I'm supposed to read something... first of all, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here. This is sort of a disjointed podcast because I've assembled my crew here hastily. We have Stompy Thompson trying to get in. He doesn't know how to do it. He's sending me various texts. He can't get in. But we had
a single freeze frame of his face earlier. And that's about it.
He just sent me a text. I believe I'm calling you all now.
What?
That's Matt.
I don't know if
that's
someone else
massive,
needs
to... non-opposable thumbs that prohibit him texting.
Or
I keep on giving him the link. So anyway, thank you for bearing with us. Thank you. It's been a while since we last talked. Thank you for listening. Yeah. I had a great talk with Gerald Fried.
Quite unexpectedly.
Yeah. It was fun. And like I said, I was going to do my podcast on The City of the Edge of Forever. The City on the Edge of Forever. And then CBS decided to come to their senses and drop the first trailer for Star Trek Discovery.
Is that what it was? They came to their senses?
They came to their senses. Well, I mean, they dropped that trailer...
by showing it to advertisers to try and get people to invest money.
I don't know what they're doing. I this is for the upfronts. They finally cobbled together enough footage to show to the upfronts. So what's going on here is that the upfronts are here. If you don't know, the upfronts are where they pre-sell commercials from sponsors, and they make money up front. And so they want to show off all their shows.
Advertisers, right?
What's that, Kim?
Right.
They present all their upcoming shows to advertisers.
The networks present their lineups of their shows to try and get them excited about, buying advertising time during these shows that they're about to present.
Yeah. And so we didn't know what they were going to show. They teased us with a picture yesterday, a picture of two people out in the desert, which is exactly what you want to see from Star Trek. sort of look like sand people. But then they dropped this trailer today.
Oh, Star Wars reference for me.
Well, I know.
Red mug.
If we have a moment, we'll towards the end of it, I'll go in a little bit to my rant about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which I saw.
Ooh. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I've just been busy, so I have to get out and see it this weekend or something. But so I'll get off for that part. I don't want any spoilers.
Yeah, I don't. Well, yeah, I don't want to spoil it too much. Have you seen it, Kim?
No. I don't want any spoilers for that.
Well, maybe I've been spoiled because the first one's so good that I didn't like it as much as I wanted to. I really wanted to love it. And I just kind of liked it. Yeah. I'll say this, is that all the main characters have the least plot arcs, have the fewest plot arcs. And it's all the secondary, tertiary characters who have really cool plot arcs. You know, character growth.
Come back to it later.
Yes, we'll come back to it later. Yeah. So, right now, wait, so Matt says he's there now. No, he's not there. All right, so we're still trying to get in touch with Matt. He says, I have it in my text. How do I get it on the computer itself? I'm logged into Google Hangouts. I'm on there now. So, right now, our discovery moment is to find Matt Stompany Thompson somewhere in the internet. He is lost. On the internet, I've sent him this link like 15 times.
I'll try and email it to him.
And on two different threads, he keeps on saying, I don't know how to do it. And I keep on sending him this link.
Yeah, but you're sending it to his phone. He doesn't know how to get it to the computer. It'll never work.
Like a poor marksman, he keeps missing the target. All right. We're talking about Star Trek Discovery, the new trailer.
Or STD.
STD. you guys have seen it. Kim and Jason, yeah. Yes.
I've seen the trailer, yes.
It is?
Yes. And hopefully you at home have seen it. So let's just go around the table and see what we think. Jason, what's your thoughts?
You know, it was okay. I didn't do any cartwheels or anything. It wasn't bad. I mean, I was intrigued. I could put it that way. It's not like I was really pumped and excited about seeing the show, but so far I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was interesting enough visually. It had enough kind of, fun things going on that were a little bit ridiculous, but yeah, I'm all right with it.
Okay.
I know we have some specific things we'll get into in terms of things that we liked or didn't like, but right. Overall I was okay with it.
All right. Kim, what would you think?
I was struck how much it looks like the Kelvinverse, the recent films, and kind of disappointed me a little. But I love Michelle Yeoh. I love Sonequa Martin-Green, so it gives me some hope. It does look pretty cool, but just some of the little touches here and there, the stylistic touches, I'm like,
Yeah.
But of course I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I was... I think cautiously optimistic is probably what I feel. And Matt still says it's not working.
Don't worry about it. I'm sending it.
Oh, okay. All right. So I can't. Yes, I have to. As the captain of the ship, I have to delegate. One of my crew members has ejected from the pod, and so I can't. I can't pay attention to that. So I've dispatched. Jason McCarris, who can sense. He can sense internet death. That's what we've been bred to do genetically.
Here's my next issue. Matt has 19 different emails because he changes it every 2 weeks.
I know.
Send it to.
Yeah. So here's my thought is that my initial thought is that was the production value and the costs placed into this trailer look really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful looking trailer. It looks cinematic. It looks like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The location, the sets, the costumes, the special effects all look first rate. I don't know what's going on in that show so much. I mean, I do, but it feels like I don't see it being Star Trek quite yet. It seems like people walking in the desert, people pretending like they're playing Star Trek quite right now. But it does seem like the Abrams universe a lot.
Yeah. Very much.
It looks like it, at least.
It looks like it so much. And it's... One of my first thoughts was like, well, this production value, I mean, the set design, the costume design is so Abrams. How are they going to reconcile that within 10 years to 1966, first episode of Star Trek, where no man has gone before? You know, how are they going to pull that off?
Yeah. I expect it to look a little more, you know, retro and, you know, simple.
Yeah.
Slick.
But they just went for it.
Modern looking.
No, yeah. It's so modern looking. They have these fancy display screens on the, you know, the windows. They have windows on the ship again. Always a good idea in space. Put a big window. The corridors, the outfits. Now, the outfits aren't bad. I don't mind the outfits. They look okay. There's no color differentiation.
Enterprise a little bit.
Yeah, it's Enterprise, which is okay. I don't mind that nod. It's Abrams. There's no color differentiation. They're all just, you know, blue. So my first thoughts originally were like, okay, I appreciate the production value of this. I like where it's going on this. you know, there certainly is a mystery. And then I saw the Klingons, like, oh, what are we doing here? No. Those aren't Star Trek original series Klingons. But...
Uh-oh.
It was just very amusing to me.
What's that?
I'm disappointed that you were that they weren't the original series Klingons. but we did hear at least a theory that they are, an older generation of Klingon or something weird like that.
Yeah, the throwback Klingons. Now there was a virus that went on through the Klingons doing some genetic testing, all sort of stuff, and in Enterprise. They basically answered in saying they needed to kind of change their DNA in order to get rid of this virus, and that's why they look like humans. But they originally looked like Worf does, like the Klingons from the motion picture on. So these guys are somehow throwbacks.
But not the original series.
Not in the original series, no.
Yeah.
But to see these guys is a little disconcerting, because it's like in 10 years we have to totally forget about these guys. That's another thing, you know, it's like, oh.
That is so weird. Is there any other sci-fi show or movie where the look of something has changed so much, so radically?
It's hard to say. I mean, because the only show which we have as a comparable would be Doctor Who, which is actually older than Star Trek by like a year or two. And they've updated some of their looks, but they haven't changed them significantly. Like the Daleks and the Cybermen, they all look pretty much the same as they did in the 1950s. So they've held pretty fast to that, which, I mean, you have to kind of appreciate on some degree. In the aughts, they had the Daleks, like, multicolored, which was really terrible. This, I know, I'm digressing, but they look like...
I just want to talk about Doctor Who.
There was a time...
Have Rob Schraub on for that.
I know.
It's so weird. Like, every time we see Klingons now, they look different.
Yes, this is true. And this is, you're right. Because the other thing about this is that these look a lot more like the Kelvin universe Klingons, as opposed to even, I guess, the Prime universe, the Gene Roddenberry Klingons of the movies. And, so it's in the Next Generation. So these guys they're much smoother. You know, they're less bumpy. They're just, they kind of.
Jason said they were scary.
At first, you know, the first time I watched it, I was watching on my phone. I just watched it again on the computer, and when I got a good look at him, I was kind of like, okay, not nearly as scary as I thought. They're just kind of like weird and bulbous and smooth.
Weird and bulbous and smooth. This is what you listen for in podcasts, right? This is...
Just describe
three of them. Nothing like Seal, like I was discussing before.
Oh,
you'd look more like the singer Seal.
Yes. I mean, they don't look terrible. I mean, they felt like this weird kind of Earth, Wind, and Fire outfit now. Kind of like this 70s jewelry.
Jumpsuit
arranged coming from a little mirrored flex coming off of them. And they're raising some sort of weird sarcophagus that's like flying into the air.
That Klingon death yell, they howl.
Yes, the Klingon death howl, which prepares them to go off to... where are they going off? Not Vortivore. No, they're going to... Stovelcore? That's where they're going to, right? That's Stovelcore. Yeah.
Mumblecore.
Yeah, they're going to... So we do have Klingons. So we're going to be seeing them. They're right off the bat. One of the other things also that occurred to me, too, is that this is what we're seeing most likely is still the ripples and the echoes of Brian Fuller's vision of Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, before he kind of left, yeah. He said he wrote the first two episodes. So I have to believe that this is part of it.
Yeah. Well, especially the beginning of the trailer, which some people online are thinking is Vulcan when they're in the desert like that. That seems to be very introductory to the character and that she's going to get a command of a ship and all that.
Yeah, so she's not Vulcan, but she was raised on Vulcan. Is that what we're looking
at?
That's
the theory.
Yeah.
That's the theory here.
Because Sarek says, you know, you'll never speak the Vulcan tongue. You know, like, oh, okay. Yes. But we'll put you in this weird
device.
What
did you make of him, by the way?
I don't know. It's
I don't know.
Kim, what do you think?
It's preceded by a very long sigh.
Heavy sigh.
He's fine. I think that's probably what we could come away with this entire trailer, that it's fine. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing that sticks out. They've smoothed away all the edges so we can say, well, Sarek was fine. The ship looks fine. You know, the Klingons.
Is there something or some character that you were really hoping to see? Or something that would have really gotten you excited to see it?
No, because, I mean, honestly, the thing
they can't be pleased.
No, but see, here's the problem is I don't want to see anything that I'm familiar with. Here's the primary problem with Star Trek Discovery is that it is a rehash. We are going 10 years into the past of the original series and trying to somehow make it exciting. We're trying to make science fiction, which is about the future, we're going into the past of science fiction and make that somehow exciting and thrilling. A series about exploration, we are going backwards and saying we haven't discovered X, Y, and Z because that's for the Enterprise to do. That's for the Next Generation to do. That's for Voyager to do in Deep Space Nine.
They should have continued more into the future.
Yes.
Wherever the last series ended.
Yes, or even further, let's go 100 years into the future. I mean, Next Generation was like, let's go 100 years in the future, or a generation. Let's go 75 years in the future and just start there. And let's have holodecks, and let's have robots, and let's do all this crazy stuff, and let's have the Klingons be our friends. And instead, we're going backwards. We go backwards, we go backwards, we go backwards. I mean, the movies go backwards. This TV show goes backwards. And all I want to see is a vision of the future which reflects what's going on right now. And instead, I'm seeing something that's perpetually frozen in this moment of 1966 that we have to keep on looking and looking and looking at.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they should keep going forward. I would like to see that rather than here's before they had transporters or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you do that, you're never going to see, you know, like little Spock again.
I don't want to see little Spock.
I know, that's why I said that.
I don't want to see little Groot.
Little Spock.
What is that song?
It's a Little Lamb from Gypsy. I was going to let it go, but thanks for bringing it up, Doctor.
Little Spock, oh my God.
Musical theater nerd.
Yes.
Matt's asking us to call him now.
Oh, God.
Get that fool.
Jeez. It'll be 15 minutes of him going, what? There was a trailer?
What? I have not seen this yet. I do not know what this is about. All right, we've jettisoned him. We're like in court martial where we theoretically jettison Kirk's best friend.
We shot him into an asteroid field,
a quantum asteroid field, as in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. All right, so I guess like that's kind of our overview, but let's dig into it a little bit. We start out on perhaps as Vulcan, where they're walking around the desert, dressed in, you know, like, I guess. See, here's the, like, are they on Vulcan? Are they in traditional garb? Why do Federation officers need to walk through sand when they have communicators in a spaceship? that is flying right through the clouds.
Well, there's some sort of electrical storm or something that we see too, and that, and I guess, well, if she was raised on Vulcan, maybe, you know, maybe she's visiting the folks. Who knows?
like are they buried in the sand dune? I mean, what's is this?
The only way to get there is on foot.
Is this like an LAX situation? It's like, oh, we can't get you that close, but we'll Uber you the rest of the way. Okay, I mean, your ride will be there soon. That's like a weird scene. So like they're walking through the desert. And then, like, her boss says, oh, you've been here 7 years. You should get your own ship. And then, like, she calls and she says, like, two to beam up. And then this weird thing where the ship comes out of the clouds.
Yeah, that confused me right off the bat. Because I'm like, she's giving her own ship? What?
And here it is. I mean, well, like,
I think that's the other captain's ship, right?
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh's ship.
Right. Yes, but
so why did she say it's George time for your own command or something?
George Yeoh is the captain of the starship Shenzhou.
Yeah,
means straight out of China, which is interesting because I would only have to guess that they're trying to market this to China as well.
Yeah,
I'm assuming so. They're trying to go global with everything now. But it's such a weird sequence where it's like they're walking in the desert. She says, hey, you need to get, like, when do you bring this up? Oh, like in mile 35 of the sand dune walk. You pull out your communicator.
I think it's time we talked about you having your own command.
Yeah, it's like, okay, good, we're alone. Okay, thank God. This has been bugging me since year one, but you got to get your own ship. Now, I'm going to pull out my communicator and ask them to transport me up. And then my ship's going to fly in through the clouds, which is 0% what I wanted to have happen. And then they're going to beat me up after that. You know, it's just so I don't understand that sequence, but it's cool. And it seems expensive.
Yeah.
Then we get a lot of shots of the ship, of them on the ship, which looks okay. I still don't understand the topography, the geography of where that bridge is. Sometimes it seems like it's, I don't understand where that screen is. It seems like it's underneath or above, or I'm typing this in right now. We're going to look at it a little bit. Let's see. By the way, I'm borrowing this is, do you guys have anything to say right now? I'm floating here.
I'm watching the screen.
Stop watching the trailer. Start talking. No one likes it.
Yes, I will. I'll start taking over, and we will start discussing the young Han Solo movie.
No, jettison you to the asteroid field. Go find Matt.
What happened?
Boom. Send me to Genesis.
What did I do? Well, you guys hear me?
More about this? Yes.
Yes.
I want to hear more about this article that you said that you read that was dissecting it.
I'm looking at it right now, actually. But it's just a breakdown of each kind of shot, scene in the trailer. And I was kind of looking through it.
I lost communication with them somehow. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Always hear you.
Somehow my sound went off. Yeah, my sound went off. This is the worst podcast. This is so terrible.
It's Matt's fault.
This is all Matt's fault. And possibly Paramount's fault.
He never appeared, but he ruined the whole thing.
I'm going to do this again. Because I want to watch that trailer.
Get my email sometime towards the end of the podcast and get on right as we're leaving.
Oh,
no. All right. See, here's another thing, too, is that who is the lead now, Cam? Tell me her name so I don't get it wrong.
Soniqua Martin Green.
Soniqua Martin Green. She's got a badass spacesuit. That's a great looking spacesuit, and I don't know how they're going to make that look like the really cheap ass spacesuit they have in the Tholian Web.
Yeah,
because that thing just looks terrible.
Mesh and foil.
It's got jets on the back and everything, and it like shoots her through space.
Yeah, they have holograms
like a ship.
Yeah,
they have holograms. Yeah, like Sarek's just like popping up every chance he can get. And just like giving everyone a hard time via holodecks or a hologram. He's like, you know,
right.
And he's like, you know, are you going out into the edge of the Federation? Like, who, shut up, you know? I mean, What are you
fucking me?
Why don't you come out here, Sarah? Come on, dude. Your son.
Leave me alone.
You don't like your son. Stop telling me I can't speak Vulcan. You don't talk to your son.
My mom would love that technology. Stand up straight. Wear lipstick.
Be more like Denise Yamada.
Nobody knows that.
Of course not.
Here's one thing I do appreciate a lot about this trailer is that for a moment or so, it looks like they're all clasping their ears in pain. It looks like there's some sort of sonic.
That appealed to you. That you captured Mike's heart with.
It is. Because that's what they did in the original series. Like in the original series, there's like five different instances when there's some sort of sonic thing which like knocks them all out.
Wait, you said you didn't want to see anything old. You wanted to only see new stuff.
Well, I don't.
Oh,
Jacques.
Well, I don't mind if they incorporate, like, if they're gonna do it, then do it. Like, see, like right now they're doing like nothing that I want to see. If you're gonna like go ahead and do the old series, then go ahead and make it look retro. You know, but if you're gonna do a new series, then do it in a whole different time frame. This is like, this isn't even Star Trek. It's like some sort of...
But if they do it retro, do you mean like the new episodes of Star Trek on that online series that you're talking about? Like make it really look like the original series?
Well, why not? I mean, like, what? How are they going to connect this?
Awful.
Well, they don't look awful. I mean, you know, they actually...
Case closed.
Yeah. Wait, why are you on this podcast? What the hell's going on? It's...
The mole for Star Wars.
I know. Wait a minute. Finally, the pieces are finally falling into place.
I'm being quite serious. Like, if you just took the original series and just redid a series that was very, in both artistically, thematically, visually, pretty much the same, I could see it kind of leading into that in sort of a prequel-ish way. But to have the same exact thing would just be like, doing a retro 60s show. It doesn't really make sense.
Well, then why are we doing this? If they invoke Kirk and Spock,
to
you know, 10 years before,
you know,
Kirk
new
and
stories,
Spock.
But leading into the stuff we already know.
Well, I understand that, but then you have all of these anachronisms of, like, the technology is far outstrips anything we saw in 1966. Yeah. You know, true. I mean, nothing is syncing up with this. Like that, you know, there's they're going to these fantastic planets, they're flying all over the place. It just doesn't. That's the thing I like continues my argument for not doing it in this time period. You know, I mean, if you're going to do it.
I mean, I kind of get what you're saying. I kind of defeated my own argument by thinking about my favorite thing, Star Wars. When you talk about Rogue One.
Wait.
They did make Rogue One very much in the same vein as A New Hope. And it ties up. It leads perfectly in the both from a visual sense and from, I don't know what else, but what I'm thinking of. But yeah, it really matches pretty well.
That's a good analogy, because if Rogue One had all shiny ships with big lens flares and people had, you know, nice, you know, streamlined costumes, and then like they delivered the Death Star plans to Princess Leia, you'd be like, what's going on here? So, So I don't know. It's just so hard to judge.
Jason will never know our pain.
I won't.
Star Wars was handled too well. Damn it.
No, he had the prequels. There was a long time, and we gave him a lot of issues about Jar Jar.
Bring back Jar Jar. I want him to make a cameo in this series.
He may be there. He may be there. Our Death Seeker guy. Our Deanna Troy of Death. Lieutenant Eric's in the making. What is this guy's name? Do we remember his name?
Lieutenant Saru.
Oh God.
He's a science officer. Tells,
means monkey in Japanese.
Sense death.
Saru means monkey in Japanese.
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh my God. There's so many horrible connotations from this. Lieutenant Monkey. You know. So this guy, like, right towards the end. Like, he has, like, he's just been sitting on the bridge, like, oh, here's a weird-looking dude. Okay. We have the blue guy who turns and, like, hey, like, the left side of your face isn't finished. Did you notice that? He kind of like turns. He's got like this kind of cheese grater thing on his face.
Oh, yeah, it looks like he laid down a roll of buttons.
Yes, that's what it was. He fell asleep on the old school consoles, and he wakes up. And says, oh, Jesus, I'm awake. Photon torpedoes are firing. Yes.
Just start hitting buttons.
Working very hard here, Captain. Work, 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 work.
Work, work, work.
So we see that guy, but then we see this guy, this like kind of, you know, midpoint from Eric's from the animated series and Jar Jar Binks. And Lieutenant Saru, he is, what is, like, they have this weird, like, I'm genetically determined to sense death or something.
Yes, yes. His people were, yeah.
What does that mean?
You know, they went to the island of Dr. Moreau or something, and somebody genetically changed them so that they can sense death.
How do you
now, but my question was, when we were talking earlier, is if they can sense death, but whoever they're with escapes death every time, they're never right.
Yeah.
So what does that prove?
It proves that they're a horrible species, and this is why.
We are biologically determined for one purpose alone, to sense the coming of death.
Hey guys, I don't want to be a downer, but death is coming. Okay, I'm going to be playing some 3D chess if you guys want to join me, but one of you is going to die, so you better hurry it up.
Just... Damn it, Gary, shut up.
Lieutenant Gary Saru. Gary.
You have to say that every time.
Hey guys, what's going on? Oh, nothing, Gary, nothing. You guys going out? No. We're all going to bed tonight.
Oh, you guys going out?
Because I mean, it looks like you all got your spacesuits on. You're gonna go, no. We're just you know, wow. Okay. All right.
No, I gotta get up early. See you
super
later.
Tired. Yeah.
Hi, Gary.
Oh, hey. By the way, guys. No, we know. You're sensing death. We get it. We get it, Gary. Should we tell him, guys? Should we just?
Yeah, we really got to talk to him about that.
All right, let's continue this role play. I'll be Gary. So, tell me what? What's going on? I don't.
You're just like kind of hard to be around sometimes.
What? I don't Hold on. Hold on.
Oh, no. See, this is what we're talking about.
Oh, God. There is a cloud of death hovering over one of you. I don't want to say who.
I just stepped on an ant. Is that it?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. I just, you know, guys, I'm just genetically determined. I don't think you should hold that against me. Kind of a little racist.
Hey, listen, we're all going to hang out. Could you not invite Captain Bryn down over there?
He keeps following me.
I just, you know, guys, I just, I want to be helpful. I want to tell you when death is coming.
But Jason keeps pointing out that you're usually wrong. What did you say? Your theory that he's always wrong?
Yeah, that will... Yeah. This is a weird situation because this invokes the idea of precognition, you know, of some sort of like magic almost, right? I mean, because he's seeing in the future in some way. He's almost like a Cassandra, like a modern day Cassandra. I just want to be able to say that. You know, someone who foretells, you know, bad things, but is not necessarily, you know, paying attention to, because he's going to say, Captain, there is death over there. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to go over there, right? Oh, well, thank you for the recommendation. We're still going to go to the death. So that character is...
aboard her.
What's that?
That's why we're aboard her.
That's why we're aboard her. It seems like out of context. That seems really weird, right? That's why we're... Okay, so have we covered this enough? Are we good? Do we feel all right on this? All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
So there's no solid date set, right?
Fall.
It just says fall.
Captain, we are genetically determined to sense when a premiere date is occurring, and one is coming.
That would be way more helpful than what he really does.
Yeah. Awesome. Did you find Mike Gary? Oh, I hope he can come.
Hey, Gary. When's Better Call Saul coming back? Soon. Wait, what? It's coming back soon. Well, what? When?
Monday at 10.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's good. That's very helpful. Yeah. I mean, we actually have TiVo. It told us the same thing, but yeah, it's nice. It's, you know, I mean, he's being useful. Gary's okay.
I'm ashamed to say I almost kind of got snookered by it, because when he showed up in the trailer and he said that, immediately I was kind of like, ooh, that's creepy, cool. And then it took me a second to go, that's totally pointless. Why? Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
If this was like a normal world, if this was like, you know, a movie or something like that, and someone portended, can you say portended? I don't know if that's a word, but portended death, then that's something. But like they got extended from 13 to 15 episodes. So get ready for some bottle episodes. What do we do now? I'll say that the show I'm writing for, well, I don't know if I can say that, but we've
do it.
They've written 40 episodes. This is an animated series I'm writing for. I came in like, you know, the last third of it, and I've written 5 of the episodes of the 40. And we're about at the finish line, and the studio is saying, oh, this is great, guys. We're going to tack on another 20 more stories. And everyone's like, what? And they can do that because they have the right to do that, because like a season can be up to 30 episodes of two stories each. So a lot of the stuff which they had set up, it's like, okay, this is going to be our season finale right here. It's going to be a cliffhanger. And now we have another 20 stories to tell. So
it's like you've just run a marathon, and then at the finish line, they're like, and you have another marathon.
Yeah,
like, but I paced myself.
Going for another 13. But CBS has decided to either pad or reward the writers with another 2 more episodes. I don't know what I'm saying about that. But, oh, no, I know. But this
– the audience.
What's that?
The writers or the audience?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who's – I guess they're rewarding the audience with 2 more episodes. But I'd rather see 13 tight episodes than, like, 13 plus 2 garbage episodes.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, I have to say, overall, though, when I watched the trailer, I kind of was expecting it to be a little less sharp than it looked. Because it's, you know, it's CBS All Access, and I knew this was going to be like their flagship thing, and they wanted it to look good. But I honestly thought, well, you know, it's probably not going to look as good as people would expect, or as good as previous shows, maybe, because, you know, who knows if the budget's there and all that sort of thing that we were discussing before. But I think it kind of, after seeing it, I'm like, oh, well, it's kind of impressive looking. I think it'll do the trick.
Yeah.
Kim?
For an internet only show, they are putting out the gambit here to like try and compete with Netflix. And seems like, you know, they're pulling it off. It looks like so far. We'll have to see once the stories start coming out and whether they're worth watching or not. But
yeah.
But I mean, visually, I think that they've kind of hit the mark.
The mark that they were aiming for, they hit. I just don't know if it's the Star Trek mark. I think it's their own Star Trek. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I don't want to like belabor this point, but it's like, yes, I agree with you. I think it looks great. Like it looks like a feature. It's like, this looks great. It looks like Kelvin great, though. It's Kelvin universe great. And I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, I'm just such not a big fan of the Kelvin universe, that to see this new thing that looks so much like it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And again, I suppose we should be grateful for any Star Trek, because it's so such a dwindling franchise, it seems like.
Well, we could be grateful now. I tried to reach out, like George Edelman, friends of the podcast, and Ryan Nagata texted me today, and they said, saw the trailer for Star Trek Discovery. I don't even have to watch the pilot. And then George was even less complimentary. He says, what a piece of shit. He says, sorry, I can't come up with anything else to say about it. You remember how in Multiplicity, now George is referencing The Michael Keaton movie. Multiplicity, the Michael Keaton film. He says, remember how in Multiplicity, the clones of clones eventually get really stupid. Discovery looks like the stupid clone of Enterprise. So, yes, they're not happy with it. Our friend of the podcast, Dave. What's his last name? God, I gotta look it up here.
Dave.
David Michelson.
Of course.
Yes, he says. Let's see. Looks like some more Abrams crap. Same shit ass leadership speeches. And this is all not suitable for work, by the way. Oh, by the way, this is David Michelson, big Deep Space Nine fan, big Voyager fan, Nagata and Edelman, TNG fans, Voyager fans, not so much Deep Space Nine. That's their fault. David Michelson says, quote, this looks like some more Abrams crap. True. Same shit ass leadership speeches. Don't understand that, but okay. Klingons looked fucked. I don't know why CBS would choose to go with the Abrams aesthetic. I agree. Yeah. It's over, period.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Trek probably will feel another decade of misery. So he is really down on this.
Wow.
He continues.
Klingons look fucked. Not fucked up.
They just look fucked. Yeah, they just. It's like, hey guys, we're fucked. I'm sorry. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror? We are so fucked. I mean,
you're so smooth and bulbous.
You're just so smooth and bulbous. I mean, we're not the death feelers, but I mean, we are right next to them.
Lieutenant Bulbous.
Lieutenant Shiny Face. Sub-Commander Bumpyhead.
Did anybody reach out to Weissel, our friend Brian Wasomirsky?
No, I'll text him and hit him up. I want to continue on. He says, because this is even the key thing. He says, this shit looks worse than Westworld. So he's already playing to my...
Those fighting words.
Yeah, well, for some of us. I normally wouldn't judge so much based off a trailer, but fuck, this sucks. And then he keeps on going. He says he calls it Trek 9/11. He's gone so far down. And then he said, I'd be happy to record a little episode with you when we break down this trailer. Like, I think you did. I think you.
Oh my gosh.
And then I took him up. I said, you want to talk tonight? And he said, oh, I just got off the phone. You want to do it tomorrow? I got to be more full of hate. And I was like, I think we need to, need to bring you down a notch.
Hate grows every day. Is that happening?
What's that?
He grows stronger every day.
I guess so.
Day to day to grow more anger to be on the podcast.
He's on his way to Toronto to punch people right now. I don't know, man. He's so angry.
He's going to explode by fall.
So, Dan Merle, cautiously optimistic. So he's okay on that. On Reddit, people seem to be kind of okay with it. We'll see. But this brings us to one other thing. Is that the day before, Fox released a trailer for Seth MacFarlane's The Orville. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it, Kim?
Yes.
Jason?
We all discussed it, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, we did discuss it a little bit. You're right. give me some thoughts on that real quick. Before we go on, The Orville is a parody of Star Trek, the Star Trek universe, by Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy, and The Cleveland Show, very similar to Family Guy, and American Dad, very similar to Family Guy, and The Cleveland Show. And it's about a commander who gets a ship, not because he's good, but because they have a lot of ships and they need someone to pilot it. And his ex-wife has to join him on the ship. So,
Yeah.
And when we watched it, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, it's, you know, the humor is pretty typical McFarlane. It's pretty juvenile. It's, you know, some lines are kind of funny. A lot of them fall flat. But the thing is, the special effects were pretty dynamite for a comedy show on Fox. And my comment was, if you know, the Star Trek trailer doesn't come out and absolutely destroy everybody, everybody's going to look at the Orville and go, well, God, why couldn't it be that good?
Yes.
In terms of the look.
I think they probably succeeded in that, at least.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, you know, I think they got people excited enough who are into Star Trek. I mean, I know we have people who are hardcore fans who are kind of not convinced yet. But, yeah, but the Orville, it's Galaxy Quest, the series, that they never got off the ground. And they got McFarlane to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be as witty as Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest had that extra layer of the actors, you know. It's actually, you know, what they thought they were doing as fiction has now become real. Mm-hmm. This is just like, oh, this is all real, but he's incompetent, which is, I hate that trope of sci-fi comedies. Mm. Let's put the least competent person in charge of something and have them run around and do stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Futurama sort of pulled it off, but you have like Leela, who's a really good pilot, really competent at what she does. You have the professor, who's really smart. Just, you know, they're people who are, they have like, they balance it out a little bit. I've seen so many of these Star Trek parodies that are just like, oh, I'm a dummy, you know? but it looked great. You're right. I mean, the effects looked really good.
Yeah.
I thought it was
we're
a
watch that too.
What's that?
The cast is.
You know, we're gonna watch that too. Yeah. Get angry.
Well, I
the Orville watch, looks watch. Fucked.
For 10 years. 10 years.
9/11.
Nagata, I held this up. He said somehow Seth MacFarlane Galaxy Quest. The series ended up with the same aliens in uniforms as Star Trek Discovery, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
The bad guys look a lot like the bad guys from Star Trek Discovery. Look like the Klingons. So this is going to be interesting because we have a series which is kind of doing its best to emulate, to not step into any unusual territory. It's trying not to explore with Discovery, and a show that's trying to parody it right next to it on the same time.
Same time, really?
Well, not the same, like the exact same time.
Roughly.
hey, Gary.
Everything literally.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Drax. Guardians of the Galaxy, Drax. We need Gary the scheduler alien to figure out when they're going to be airing.
Genetically predisposed.
We are genetically determined to know when all Fox shows are premiering.
Sounds like you should work at Fox.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, when's the second season
exactly
of Pitch?
What do you mean
back?
By
Pitch?
What does it mean by determined? By the way, they've been determined. I mean, that could mean, obviously, that they've been sort of programmed or kind of genetically spliced together to do that or something like that. But it could mean, we just determined to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
We were very determined.
Yeah.
We really put our minds to it, and you're going to die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then he shoots him.
That's cheating.
Yeah.
We could all be determined.
It's all self-determination.
Driving along, I'm going to run that guy over on the sidewalk. Yes. I'm an alien.
I don't know what that means, Jason, but it certainly sounded good. I know some intrepid writer, not a writer on the Intrepid, had decided that that's a cool thing to say. I know it was on some sort of dry erase board somewhere in Toronto or here where they're writing them and saying, oh, yeah, well, they're self-genetically determined to, you know.
Written in Toronto? Or am I just taking it literally again?
Kim, when I say Toronto, of course I mean in Burbank.
That's
come on.
What I call Burbank.
Oh my gosh.
Because I have such faith in your deep knowledge of showbiz.
Now, had you known exactly what you're talking about. Had you known at the time when you were at the Star Trek concert and you suspected that some of these people were the writers and the actors in the show,
oh,
could have stopped them in their tracks and told them not to have these determined people who knew about death ahead of time.
Well, see, I don't know who those guys are now. I mean, Kim, we saw those people.
I don't remember what they looked like.
Right? Well, they're all young and like kind of goofy looking, and they all stood up, and they're all like in their
bulbous.
They're all bulbous and smooth. They're hairless. And one guy said, "There's a cloud of death around you." I was like, "Oh Jesus, man! Just trying to watch the concert, guy. I mean, you know."
I thought you would have stood up for Nichelle Nichols. I mean,
she's royalty, doctor. Yelling at me.
Did I say that to you?
Yes. Get up, doctor. She's royalty. I had stuff on my lap.
I had the opportunity to go with you guys to that, and I passed, and I regret it immensely only because of that moment that I missed.
Oh. You missed
and
Mike.
Royalty, doctor.
It's Mike walking all the way up to the front of the house in the Star Trek shirt.
That was pretty awesome. That was actually a really good concert. That was actually one of the better concerts. You know, the video game concert Jason and I went to was pretty kick-ass in the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
Where they had the blimp and, you know, they had, right. You know.
And they had, you know, all the classic games. But then Steve Vai came out and played Halo.
Yeah, play like one song and anyway, that's all digressive. I did watch the latest episode of Star Trek Continues. I know no one cares about that but me, but it was on. I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this.
They make it specifically for you.
Yeah, they should. They probably should. I don't know how they continue to make it. I don't know if CBS has cut a deal with them because technically they should be done.
Yeah.
But they did kick out another episode like 3 weeks ago. This one was about, I can't even remember what the hell it was about. I guess I'm going to look it up. Perfect. Someone talk. Someone say something.
What did you say at the very beginning of this nonsense podcast? You said, I was reading. I want to read something to you. And I think we all piled on and distracted you. Were you getting a review or something?
I don't know what I was going to say. I don't know what that was.
No, I think he was talking about listener feedback or something on the iTunes.
Oh, okay. This is so I watched here it is. So I haven't finished episode 7, which is a trial episode, whatever. But episode 8 is kind of interesting. Still Treads the Shadow.
The best titles.
They're not bad. They're not bad. See, like I hope my one hope. Is that they come up with great poetic titles for these Discovery episodes, but they're not. They're all going to be like these bullshit, like one or two word titles, like, you know, Rug Burn. It's...
Oh, I'm looking forward to Rug Burn.
The NCC 1702 Rug Burn.
Okay, so in this episode, I'm gonna go over it really quickly because it's interesting. Because in this episode, it's sort of a take on the Tholian Web episode, and the idea is that Kirk was beamed out from this other dimension, at the last possible minute before the Intrepid disappears. That's it's interesting. I said the Intrepid, so the Intrepid disappears at the last possible minute. But in this version, he is not beamed out. He's beamed out, but he's not. It's sort of like a Thomas Riker thing in The Next Generation. And so they beam out one version of Kirk, but the other one stays on the ship, and he's stuck there. And he comes back old. It's really weird. I don't understand. He comes back, he's like 95 years old, and the computer is programmed to sound like Kirk, and it's jealous of the fact that they're back. It's kind of a mess. It's a little bit of a mess. So
okay.
Well, watch it. I mean, here's the thing. Is like, if you want to watch original 1966 Star Trek, watch Star Trek Continues. You're going to get as close as you can. But their stories are still a little bit of a mess every once in a while. I emailed Vic, the guy who's
Dabak?
Captain. Vic Tayback. I got rights.
Clean Kim, you must have been Tayback impression.
Oh, what was that?
There's only three guys on that ship.
That's the best.
We will do an Alice podcast. I promise you that.
Just recreate that Star Trek episode and have Kim do all of Vic Tayback's lines.
Oh, God.
Alice podcast.
Like for Alice April Fools, we're going to do an Alice podcast.
Kiss my grits
cast.
Yeah. Flow cast.
A flow cast.
Kiss my grits cast.
Yeah. Well, people think it's progressive insurance. That's what I'm supposed
write
to
that
read.
Wrong.
No, I'm supposed to read. Here it is. I'm supposed to read something like some sort of ad. That's what I'm supposed to do.
For Farrell?
Yeah. They say, hey, Mike. I know. I should have done this a long time ago. Let's see. We want to let you know we've got a bunch of CPA ads for the podcast. You can read some or all of them. Use as many times as you like for as many weeks as you'd like.
CPA?
I don't know what that means. So like, yuck.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Star Trek CPAs.
Should I do it for Tula?
What is your
Tula?
Galaxy?
Dun, 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 dun.
So this is what I'm supposed to read for Tula. What is this? Tula original without
Tula.
Tula.
Tula, which is the Sanskrit word for balance, is a skincare healthy living brand founded by.
She meant that character. Tula.
I know.
Tula. Yeah, who is Tula? Who's Tula about?
Oh, she was. Gotta look.
Oh, your daddy can take him in, can he?
Yeah.
Tula, come. Yeah. Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
That's exactly
I was
it.
Like, what? Then we absolutely have to do this one. This is a. So Tula, which is the Sanskrit word for balance, is a skincare / healthy living brand founded by Dr. Roshini Raj, a practicing gastroenterologist, oh my God, and media wellness expert, and Ken Landis, co-founder of Bobby Brown Cosmetics. There's so much here I don't understand.
Oh, jeez.
I am so confused by all of this, but that's okay.
You can clear up that pimple, can you?
Tula, come. Now, this is directly in conflict because it says Tula empowers women. It doesn't. Like, in the Red Hour, Tula was not empowered. She lost all inhibition. Maybe she was. Tula empowers women to live healthier, balanced, and more beautiful lives by transforming their beauty regimen. Why am I reading this? Okay.
Why are you reading this?
All right. It's okay.
All right.
More about CPAs.
Just welcome read to- all of that in that guy's voice. Your daddy can be.
You can create a custom URL to advertise on your show. www.trytula.com/feral audio. Maybe it's feral audio, I think. Yeah, I think it's feral audio. So, all right. So if you want non-bulbous but smooth skin, go to Tula. .com or trytula.com/feralaudio and you're gonna get 20% off something.
We promise your skin won't look like seal.
You will get 20% off your life for this. our death feeler is already feeling that you are getting 20% off. All right, this is Tula, we apologize. I'm trying to be helpful here, but this is such a train wreck. This is so bad.
Only you weren't named after a classic character.
I know. I was saying, like, I just thought, oh, Tula, that seems like, why is Tula so familiar? Oh, your daddy can put them up, can he? Tula, come. Oh, God.
Lost your mind.
Do you think, like, in 1,000 years, anyone, like, they're sending out this copy to hundreds of podcasts all over the country, all over the world, do you think that they would, like, think, oh, there's no way there's anything that says, that's, like, referencing Tula that's going to be a problem with this?
No, you put it through all our focus groups. It's a great name. Yeah. Very non-controversial. Your daddy can put them, can he?
And the festival guy grabs a big hoagie from underneath his jacket, beats up
hit somebody with it.
Carl Held, and grabs Tula and runs off with her.
Yeah, he hit him with a hoagie.
Yeah, he hit him with a hoagie.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. We were watching it all together, Doctor.
I haven't seen the show.
Oh, You don't know the floor cleaner from Star Trek II.
Oh, God.
So angry.
I broke his heart.
Oh. Or the solar sail guy from Star Trek IV.
Ah.
Our engineer has constructed a makeshift solar sail. We have high hopes it will be able to power life support systems. That guy from, you know, who's in the ship after the wah-wah-wah thing depowered. All right.
Now you sound crazy.
Yeah, I'm losing my mind here. Please buy all the Tula products because the Red Hour will thank you. Red Hour back will thank you. Is there anything else I want to read? Oh, hey, check out the Facebook page. I'm going to put something up front, actually. To check out the Facebook page because we've got a nice little discussion. A couple of people have posted something about the the man skirts. And
oh, in Next Generation?
Next Generation. So you can go join that conversation.
Man skirts.
You can follow me at Mike McCafferty. We're getting some good stuff there. Gramp Champ has... you know, show me a picture of Landru. We like that. Someone showed me something about Daft Punk version of the motion picture. Did you watch that, Kim?
No.
Okay. Again, I'm talking in tongues right now. But someone made a cut of Star Trek the motion picture and did it as a 22-minute thing with all Daft Punk music. And it's pretty good. It's not bad. Is anyone listening to me? Is anyone alive? Tula, come!
I'm looking at the webpage here.
Is that on your Facebook page? The Daft Punk thing?
I'll put it up. I'll put it up on our Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek. But we've got to eject the pod here. This is just... We apologize. Like, this trailer is filled with so much potential. And there's so many questions. And we should have gone back. Should have gone back to it.
I'm still looking for these comments on the webpage, the Facebook page.
Oh, they're there. Let's see.
Okay. All I see is George telling you that he hates the Star Trek continues. He says, your question is, how do we feel about this series? George's response is, bad, gross, depressed.
here's the thing is that George, we've just got to say this. Is that George, ever since Trump, has just turned to such a sour situation.
He's kind of turned into, you know, Superman 3, you know, the dark Superman ever since Trump was elected.
Yes, he has. Okay, so Steven Sven Johnson posted a picture of the man's skirt and said, curious about your thoughts on this uniform and if this ever occurs again in any of the other series. No, it does not. I love the idea that maybe in the future gender norms would be a thing of the past, but I do not recall if this was ever referenced again. No. Enjoying the podcast. Keep up the good work. Well, sorry, Steven Sven Johnson, but we just botched it here. I enjoyed Star Trek in the past, but now I'm really getting into it. And then a guy by the name of Matthew Gladney kind of posts something. And then Steven talks to Matthew. It's nice. And they're all talking to each other. This is great. You go to this website, this Facebook place, and you're going to talk to people.
You go to the Facebook place.
You go to the Facebook place.
At the mall.
I'm wandering in the desert with the two of you. We've reached the end.
I do appreciate that somebody here is saying, responding to Kirk Busters and saying he hears full power cut thrusters, but Kirk Busters is much, much cooler.
Yes. Yes. I still don't buy that it's cut thrusters.
Yeah.
Because you hear a bee in there. Kirk Busters! You don't say cut busters. You say thrust. That's bust. I have lost my mind. I'm calling for the Enterprise. I'm calling for the Discovery in the desert with my first officer.
Drop out of the clouds.
It's dropping out of the clouds. Nothing makes sense. A sandworm should come up and eat us from Dune. The spice must flow. Oh, God. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please like, subscribe, buy Tula. Tula's waiting. Take all these things from us, please.
Take all
these things. My nighttime requirements are done. I'm no longer taking classes. I finished that up. And in 2 more weeks, I should be done with my daytime stuff. So all I'm going to do is podcast with these two fools, and perhaps a third one, perhaps you. We have an English listener. She wants to be in the podcast. She will be. Oh. Yeah, she's been listening chronologically, and she said, "Oh, I heard that you want to listen. You want to talk to someone." Cool. For some reason, we have like 300 Argentinian listens all of a sudden. Like really? Someone like from Argentine decided, well, let's just really get into this.
someone from Argentine?
From the planet of Argentine. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. Thank you. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And I just want to talk about
Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. All right. We're going to talk about death.
Star Trek!
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand? Anything but death.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Yes, Mr. Rubin.
Captain, a while ago I saw birds, a whole flock of them.
Don't you like birds, Mr. Rodriguez?
I like them fine, sir, but...
Hello, I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. And he's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm a
bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a rich...
I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I help people. She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My